Hey, this is Justin.
This is Eric.
And we're back with the next installment, the second installment of our review of Nine Inch Nails' album Hesitation Marks. We're on track number 3, Came Back Haunted, which was actually the first single from the album, and followed by Kapiova, which we talked about last time. My first note here, and I wrote this down today when I was hearing it, this is the reason that it's the first single. Meaning, like, it is the single.
Right.
It's clearly the single.
Right.
You know.
Right.
There's no question about it. I kind of want to get into a bigger discussion, actually, but about something. I don't know if you remember or not, the other day when we were texting back and forth, and I was like, I have a bigger thought to get into about the album.
Okay.
But before we get into that, why don't you talk about the track in general?
Sure. Well, I think that definitely, like, this one is it's classic Nine Inch Nails. It's got the dance beat to it. It's got, like, the strange dissonance. You know, it's got, like, at the end of it, you know, it's got the great breakdown with just the vocals that everybody's going to be singing along with. And for me personally, anybody who knows me knows that when I think about Nine Inch Nails, it's Trent Reznor and it's Robin Fink on guitar. And I can't wait to hear Robin Fink do these guitar parts live, because they're just sick. And even, you know, whoever is playing them on the album, whether it's Trent or whether it's the amazing, you know, Adrian Belew or Lindsey Buckingham or any of those guys, Robin Fink makes the guitar parts his own, and he's just amazing performer, and I'm really excited to see, you know, what happens with this stuff live.
I mean, there's just so much meat to the guitar parts, even on the studio, you know, studio version of it, on the album version. I can't, you know, being able to see Robin play live and just really kind of, like, dig into that even more.
Yeah.
Would be really great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fun song. I mean, like, obviously, again, I think similar to what I was talking about before with Kapiova, it's obviously the track that you're going to be hearing in movies and on the radio. The bigger picture that I was feeling from this album so far, and it's definitely a little bit in this album, in it starts with this track, is that, and I was talking a little bit about this with Robin today, actually.
Not Robin Fink.
My old friend Robin Fink. No, just kidding. Robin Yount from the Milwaukee Brewers, 1982. Okay, so, and this actually goes back to something that you were talking about in the last post about how a lot of it feels a little bit like Pretty Hate Machine to you. And if you go back to Pretty Hate Machine, Trent is coming off of, you know, kind of like that. What was the name of that poppy little something birds? The Yardbirds? Nah. Or
wasn't there, like,
the birds? Wasn't, like, he in the birds?
Sweet Pierre or something like that. He was in the band with the guy from Prick, and then he was in,
but there was, like, some where they were just doing covery kind of thing.
The Cardinals.
The Carpenters. Him and Karen Carpenter.
Yeah.
It was something like, anyway, whatever. Yeah. I mean, basically, you know, just like a lot of musicians, you come from, like, this, your dark ages are you covering a lot of other people's music, and you learn music by covering a lot of other people's music, and the music you cover more often than not is very poppy, you know, it's just radio hits, right?
Right.
Okay, so Pretty Hate Machine, I feel like the lyrics, the writing on it was very, I mean, it was, you know, a lot of those lyrics are more, like, I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't feel like the lyrics on Pretty Hate Machine are necessarily the same kind of poetry that happened on, like, Broken, or definitely that happened on, like Downward Spiral.
Right. And, well, he's a young guy. He's just getting started.
Right, exactly.
He's the sum of his influences at that
point. Exactly, right. That's my point. He's just, you know, he's making music based on not his past music, based on other people's past music, sure. Right? And I feel like as some of, you know, and then as time went on, like, especially, like, the lyrics on Downward Spiral, and then especially, like, even on, you know, a lot of the Fragile, I feel like a lot of those lyrics, and I don't know how the albums were created necessarily, but I feel like a lot of those lyrics were, like, just, like, poetry or, like, inner thoughts or whatever that Reznor wrote, and then he created music separately, and then he blended those two things. And mm-hmm. sometimes those things fit together really well, and sometimes they didn't. You know, like some of the whispering on Downward Spiral, like the background poetry stuff, like yeah. the whatever. Anyway, this album feels and a lot like old, like Pretty Hate Machine, in that like he's like, as far as lyrics go, he's like, I need something that rhymes with wide here. Oh, side. You know, and he's just going through, like, right. the, you know, like, I need something that rhymes with X. I'll fill it with Y. I know that that works. Whereas before, it was like, he wrote lyrics that necessarily, you know, it wasn't like, it didn't necessarily rhyme, but it just fit. There was something about it that just, like, fit with the overall feel. Mm-hmm. And I feel like some of the album suffer. I mean, I want to say suffers, but it doesn't really bother me too much. It's just more of an observation that it is like a sticking point.
Okay.
I feel like some of the lyrics are kind of like going back to that, like, and part of it is probably like now, like Reznor knows that like he's got to make music that works both, you know,
right
on radio and right. and not on radio. Right. So, but that's like a bigger, the way I explained it to Robin today, and I'm totally rambling and I'm fully aware of it, but is that like, it felt like, this, like, if the song or the lyrics used to be like a square peg, and the opposite of that, the lyric or the song, was like a round peg, rather than finding the piece to make it fit, he would just pound the fucker in there.
Sure.
And make it work.
Right.
Right. Whereas now it's like, you know, the lyrics and the instrumentation, the music itself feels more like they're equal. There's more cohesiveness between them.
Well, I think to even kind of take that a step further and in a slightly different way, though, like if you go back and you think about like Pretty Hate Machine and kind of going through, you know, going through life and becoming a musician and that does their own material and sort of holding your, you know, whatever your next thing is. And, you know, Reznor was very, you know, it was notorious for him taking a long time between albums to do things, whether it was because of lawsuits or because of like waiting for technology and having like twist and make things, you know, it's much easier to kind of do that in the computer age now.
Right.
But he's always had this pop sensibility. And I would say that he has the same kind of like pop sensibility that like Prince has, where there, he knows it. He knows like how to do verse chorus, you know, how to do a bridge, how
right.
to, you know, how to construct a song, a great song, a great poppy song. And I think that before, there would be aspects of that, but he would try and, it was almost like he was embarrassed of it. He would kind of like try and push it down and cover it up with noise and cover it up with anger, or to have like some of those like maybe awkward turns of phrase or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's just gotten better at polishing stuff. And I think he's more comfortable with some of that pop sensibility kind of rising to the surface.
Yeah.
But throughout this entire album, like especially like from this point on, I feel like there are just lines being cast from here to the past. Like it's almost like he's not actually sampling himself, but it's almost like he's pointing to like a very particular part of different songs and being like this and this, or it's like a mood or a tone
right.
or even a noise sometimes, and it's like there's something that, like, if you're really just, like, doing that, sitting in a room, just listening to the music, just reading the lyrics, you'll pick up on it, and you might have to go back and, like, listen to an old album to find exactly what it is.
Right.
But on an unconscious level, it just makes it feel like this new album fits and folds in with the history of Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm not in any way saying, like, you know, I want that it bothers me.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, you know, I don't care. You know, I don't expect Trent Reznor. I didn't expect Trent Reznor or Nine Inch Nails or whatever to be, like, the angry fucking 20-somethings that they started out being.
Right.
He can fucking make songs about petting kittens and feeding the homeless for all I give a shit. I don't give a shit. I'll listen to whatever.
Right.
And so it's not about necessarily the content or the tone of it. It's more like the structure of it that I'm interested in. And again, it's not like, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's just that I feel like it's, he's like looking back to, you know, music that he made, you know, 25 years ago now.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Man. Yeah, so that's my thought. And I'll, you know, that's just kind of something that will, for me, will pop up more as we kind of go through it. And there's some songs that, like, totally, as we go on, that totally stray from that, which is what kind of, like, change for me, one of the weird things that changes up the album. But
I definitely feel like the album has, like, different moments to it, especially, like, here at the beginning, because, like, the first couple songs that we've heard have been very that minimal, electronic, dancey kind of thing, and then it kind of shifts.
Yeah, these are the hook moments where it's like, I got you through track three, mm-hmm. and now you're in for 11 more.
Yeah.
So. All right, anything else?
No, I think we'll just, we will get ready to talk about the next phase of the album tomorrow as we start to get into...
Find My Way.
Yes. Join us, won't you? And go to iTunes or nineinchnails.com, N-I-N.com, and buy this album because... We haven't really said this yet because we're too busy picking it apart, but this album is fucking brilliant.
Yeah, it's great. Suckers. Is that mean?